Wayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Yes, it is. Well, but not really, because Dwayne Russell isn't here. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the pipe today. Welcome aboard Midday Madness, Dwayne's World, of course. I'm not sure where the pipe is, actually. I haven't asked. I'm assuming he's working on that milk sponsorship. Maybe he's out there milking the cows himself, getting a bit of hands-on experience this afternoon, Big Dwayne Pipe. Nevertheless, without him, normal service continues. It's Midday Madness, which I believe means you call, you get on. And it goes for a solid two-hour block, so strap yourselves in. She's going to be big. 0433981116 is the 40 Winks temper text. I've already got a few that are pouring through. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That's the difference. The difference is temper. And the Werribee Kia open line. Now, I'm going to get to know the Werribee Kia staff before the show is out, because I know Dwayne always mentioned them specifically. I'm going to give them a shout out before the 3 hours are done as well. That number, in case you need a reminder, 1-300-736-736. Werribee Kia always makes buying cars easy. We're going to cast the net far and wide on this Tuesday morning. The Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu. Make sure you ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. In fact, whenever I hear the pipe roll with that, geez, it makes me hungry. The old grandmother ham, beautiful cut of ham it is. I'm really looking forward to catching up with the teenage winger from the Melbourne Football Club, and as of last night, the rising star nominee for round 8, Caleb Windsor. The Duke, the Windsor Knot, whatever you want to call him, he's a darn fine footballer at the age of 18, the pick number 7. Hasn't he slotted in seamlessly into Simon Goodwin's Melbourne outfit? So really looking forward to that. And I've listened to these interviews that Pipe conducts with the rising stars, and I love them because it's an opportunity to get to know someone, to delve into their backstory, what got them to the highest levels of the game, and they can be enlightening. So looking forward to having a chat to Caleb Windsor. Simon Hill's going to join us. So much happening in the world of football, both domestically and internationally. The A-League final's in full swing. The A-League women's grand final's been run and won. We've got the Champions League. It's all happening there. And I've Seen the Light is a segment that I'm going to need your help with. What have you seen the light on? We'll get to a little bit later on in the show. I've got a couple of ideas that I'd like to think I've seen the lot on. You can beat the lunch lockout with Grandmother Ham from Barclay Smokehouse. Just find it at your local deli. So as you take a number for Midday Madness, I need to detail these prizes. Does Pipe have these every week? He's absolutely flush in here. I've got the Grandmother Ham valued at $80, thanks to Barclay Smokehouse. We're going to give that to one of you. I've got the Pink Lemonade voucher for a round of Grey Goose vodka to share with some friends. You can play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade. That's down at Swan Street in Richmond. Magnificent. Sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. I've got the 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart. That's out at the Magnificent Club Mandalay. And you can get the a round of golf out there for two with drinks and a cart midweek for just $99. That's value. Clubmandalay.com.au. I've got more, though. I've got the Super Netball Double Pass, Melbourne Mavericks, our Melbourne Mavericks against the Thunderbirds. Just get along to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. And, of course, the merch. I've got the Dwayne's World t-shirt to give away as well. So do not delay. The Werribee Kia open line, 1-300-736-736. Just before I turn my mind to it and get to these calls straight away, just there'll be plenty of time for serious topics today, and we're going to talk about the Western Bulldogs. I'm going to talk about people's assessments of Harley Reid, and we're going to do all of that. But I'm just thinking about great last-minute inclusions from the weekend. The Logan Morris story was unbelievable. You know, the Grand Angus meal, the nuggets on the side, the small footy boots. He played VFL, of course, ran the 22 Ks across the day. We've heard this story before. The soup as well, the frappe drink. It just got me thinking about great last-minute inclusions. I've jotted a few down. You will have more. Those that live on with you, whether they've been at AFL level, even at amateur level or suburban level, great last-minute inclusions. There's been some rippers in the AFL and the VFL over the course of time. I really want to talk about Peter Johnston, one of my all-time favourites for Geelong in the 1981 prelim final against Collingwood, you know the one, where Gary Sidebottom infamously missed the team bus to Waverley. So, famous last-minute inclusions, but you know the drill here. You call, you get on, and you can take us in any direction you like. Let's have a conversation and see where this goes. Righto, Wantirna South, Mick's on the line. Mick, welcome to Midday Madness.
Hey, Sam. Just a thought of, when you mentioned this at the end of Jared's show, it made me think straight away of Nick Dargan.
Yes.
In the 2013 elimination final. He'd replaced Brock McLean, who was on withdrawal in the warm-up with a hammy or something, and he'd already had a Red Rooster flavour wrap while sitting in the stands.
I know, Mick, and a lot of texts coming through saying I've only raised this topic to call about to raise Nick Dygan's story, but it was a massive game. It was a 2013 elimination final. I mean, the Blues should have even been there, and yet here they were. Nick Dygan shouldn't have been there either. He is up in the stands. I think for good memory, Mick, it might have been a salad sandwich, but we'll roll with Rooster Roll for better effect. And he was about to head up and put his feet up for the four quarters, gets the call, suits up, kicks four goals as a forward, and I think it's, we'll never know, but they probably wouldn't have ever won the game without him, and he came in as a late inclusion. Beautiful start from you, Mick. Thanks for taking the time to call in. The Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736. You can text us as well. I prefer the calls, but I'll park the text as we go. Johnny's got a nomination in Melton. As we have a bit of fun on a Tuesday morning. How are you, Johnny?
Good, thanks, mate. I've got a double. He just took one of them. Carlton in the 2013 elimination final, all up and a half, because of Essendon getting rolled because of the drug saga. And then Nick Dygan sitting in the grandstand with the subway, and they get the late call up for Brock McLean. So, yeah, he stole my thunder with that one, but Carlton for the 2013 elimination final. That was a late call up.
Worth repeating, Johnny. Yeah, and I think he'd kicked six career goals to that point, Nick Dygan, and then he comes out and kicks four in an elimination final. Right, this Peter Johnston one. So Gary Sidebottom misses the bus to Waverley in 1981. Now, that day when Peter Johnston got the call up because Sidey'd missed the bus, this was what he'd eaten. Half a chicken, a serve of large chips, a strawberry thick shake. And he later said, now whether he's put a bit of mayo on this or not, who cares? By his own admission, he'd smoked half a packet of ciggies on his way to the game as well. That didn't bode well for him. He didn't play overly well, but that's going to take some beating as well. Diet is important when it comes to the infamous nature of these late inclusions. Thanks for your call, Johnny. Tony's in Craigieburn on Midday Madness. How are you, Tone? Welcome aboard.
Yeah, g'day, mate. Good to see you a little bit upbeat than what you were in the box on Friday night when you were a little bit quiet. I mean, I've seen a couple of stills where you basically were emotionalist, mate. I just was a little bit concerned about your mental health. But,
looked like I'd seen a ghost, Tony.
Did you contribute at all? I mean, I didn't really hear the call because I'm a Collingwood fan, but the whole concept, I just totally gave a wide berth. But seeing you guys lose and the reaction, it's a bit like even Cooter.
Yeah,
did he contribute at all as well?
That's what it's all about, Tony. That's what it's all about. Oh, we're up and about early. Safe to say we wanted to go home when the siren went. We had to stick around for a bit. That's what it's all about, Tony. You've got to put yourself out there and have a bit of a laugh. Hopefully people got something out of it anyway. It's not for everyone. Certainly wasn't for Collingwood supporters like you. But, hey, Tony, you had the last laugh, and that's what it's all about. Hopefully there's a couple more chapters to come this season in the great Carlton and Collingwood rivalry. Nick's in Mernda. Nick, you got a late inclusion story for us.
Yeah, it's going down a different path from AFL, but Michael Schumacher, yeah, he had a lot of talent, but his first ever race for Jordan came about because their regular driver, Bertrand Gasho, had belted a police copper for pulling him over in Europe somewhere, got locked up for about 2 weeks, so they needed someone to sub him. In comes Michael Schumacher and the rest is history.
Unbelievable. Good nomination, Nick. Yeah, it doesn't have to be footy. It can be late inclusions in any sporting realm. Chris texted in. Luke Pommersbatch, in fact, we've got a few texts about Luke. Sitting in the grandstand in Perth, he got a call up after Brad Hodge was a laid out in a T20 game. 2010 Sandful prelim here is Andrew and Adelaide's offering. Woodville West Torrens v Norwood. The last minute on-field warm-up, former forward AFL player this was, Scotty Welsh pinged his calf. Last minute change on the bench given to umpires before the 2 minute siren. Emergency Aaron Day dropped his hot dog and iced coffee in the stands when he took the phone call, ran to the car park for his kit, then came on and kicked a goal before half time. Coach Michael Godden was on his way up to the coach's box and didn't even know the change had been made. Drama, Andy. I love it. Brendan Sanderson sat opposite me in the studio here and told me a great Gary Ablett senior story last year. I'll recount that one in a moment. But Curtis is in Brisbane. You call, you get on the Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736. Werribee Kia, always make buying cars easy. Curtis, what's on your mind?
How are you?
I'm well.
That's good. I just the fly, that comes to mind last year, obviously, when he forgot his boot, like his shoes and all that. That was pretty interesting. But just want to call, there was a caller yesterday that called up about the Brisbane versus Gold Coast game and said he lived in Victoria and thought it wasn't a great idea because he had to sit up late. In Brisbane, Queen's birthday is actually in October, so obviously the King's birthday, and then you've got an Essendon-Carlton game the night before. I mean, wake up to yourself. It's the Australian Football League. I think it was awesome. I reckon the Brisbane Gold Coast game was really good for the town up here in Brisbane, and I reckon they should do it every year.
What crowd? I didn't see, Curtis. Obviously, Brisbane, you know, maybe suffered a bit by the fact they're not going that well, but it was a Labor Day up there, wasn't it, yesterday? So what sort of crowd did they get in the end? Was it a good one?
I'm pretty sure it was close to a sellout, if not a sellout. But even that Brisbane Geelong game in the wet, that was a sellout. So obviously, I don't know if everyone turned up, but like the crowd's pretty good up here. I just think, you know, as living in Brisbane, does that mean we can't play? You can't play Carlton Essendon the day before King's birthday because it's not a public holiday here? I'm like, I mean, it's a national competition. You've got to play to, you know, what's going to get the people through the gates. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, good call, Curtis. It's a shame the game, and we can't control this, didn't quite live up to the billing, but they turned up to watch it. So Mitch is telling me 30,285 in the end through the turnstiles. That's a record crowd for a Q clash. The Suns were just so disappointing, weren't they? Like, unbelievably disappointing. And if you sat through all of that as a neutral, you probably deserve a medal. They were shocking in the end, but credit to Brisbane. I wonder if that's the win that almost kills Brisbane's season. Gee, they've copped it, haven't they? We might talk ACLs in a moment and what Brisbane are at least looking to get to the bottom of up there in that part of the world. But the injury run they have had, and yes, they've had a good run for the last, I want to say, 3 years with their medical department. They are getting seriously tested this year, and just goes to show no club is immune. When your best players aren't out there, you're generally going to struggle. So they're going to have to make do for the rest of the year. Good on you, Curtis. Appreciate it. Dean's in Wollert on the late inclusion. Just a bit of fun off the top. We'll zero down into some, I don't know, more serious footy topics in a moment. Welcome to you, though, Dean.
Hi, Sam. How are you going?
How are you going? Well?
1991, US PGA Championship. John Daly, seventh alternate. Nick Price pulls out just way before the start. John Daly has to drive all night to get there, hasn't got a caddy, so Nick Price lends him his caddy. John Daly wins the tournament easily, and then the next year, the caddy for John Daly that was Nick Price's caddy goes back to Nick Price, and Nick Price wins the PGA the following year.
That's not a bad nomination from you, Dean. In fact, a few texts came through on that very topic a short time ago, and a lot have come through on Denmark. 1992 Euros, didn't even qualify for the tournament. This has come from Ange and also Clinton. But they were included because of the war in Yugoslavia. They got included. They then went on to lift the cup as European champions, Denmark. Patrick's on the road when it comes to late inclusions. Hey, Paddy.
Right, so I wanted to talk about UFC recently. Queensland fighter Batman Justin Taffa. He had his knee injured by his brother while sparring a couple of days before the fight, and he got his brother, Junior Taffa, to be a late inclusion for the fight. And he hadn't prepared for the fight or anything. He was the late inclusion 15 minutes before weigh-in. Jumped on the scale, weighed in perfectly, and it's the latest inclusion to a UFC fight in history.
Yeah, that takes real guts. I mean, there's late inclusions in footy, but to get in the ring and fight like that, Patrick, you got to tip your lid. Trent's nominating Peter Hudson, arriving in the chopper. Brian Peak as well in the chopper. A few more football nominations coming through. So keep them coming through. Just before we get to the break, Gary Ablett Sr. was probably the subject of many a late inclusion and a late-out story too, I might add. But there's one particular game, 1995 Round 9. The Cats are playing on a Friday night against North Melbourne. Now, what they used to do, Geelong, everyone travels of their own accord at their own time, but they used to all get in the bus down at Cadinia Park and travel up together. And on this particular afternoon, they're all in the bus getting ready to go, And there was no Gary Ablett Sr. So they waited and they waited and they waited. They couldn't get in touch with him, didn't know where he was. So they had to finally depart. They had to call it. Now, they're running late. They get a police escort through the CBD. They get to the G. They start rushing in the change rooms. Still no Gary Ablett Sr. And then he finally arrives. And he says, boys, I haven't had dinner. Can someone just quickly run and get me a pie? So someone goes to get Gary Ablett Sr. a pie. He's chowing down on said 4-20 pie as the players and his teammates are walking up the race. He downs the pie, runs out, kicks 7-3, and Geelong thrash North Melbourne. Round 9, 1995 at the MCG. I've got the prizes to give away. There's a stack of them as well. Midday Madness is for Work Locker, Carrum Downs and Pakenham. Workwear for wherever you work. Fog and Twinkles, I promise you're right after the break. What a combo, Fog and Twinkles. You're up right after the break. This is Midday Madness. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the pipe. There's so much ahead of us, so stick around.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
After my VFL game, I left my boots at the ground and didn't think that I was going to get on in the ones game and stop on Maccas on the way home, and then rocked up to the ones game and 5 minutes before the game starts, got the call up.
He's gone national. That was Logan Morris on the Today Show this morning, if you don't mind. He's gone everywhere. His unusual pre-game routine is a late inclusion, which has inspired us today. And a couple of other nominations from Jez. Marnus Labuschagne is the concussion replacements for Steve Smith at the Ashes. You're not wrong there, Jez. That came through a few times. Late inclusion, Oleg Markov was listed a couple of days before the season started as doing the preseason at the Blues, ended up a premiership player at the Pies, in brackets, obviously. And slightly off topic from Zook before we return to the Werribee Kia Open Line, why is there two Friday night games this week? Weird. Yeah, well, they did this a couple of times last year, I want to say, the AFL, the doubleheader on a Friday. And this particular weekend, it'll be Geelong and Port Adelaide into Fremantle and Sydney. I think, though, more specifically, it's done to reduce the amount of games on Mother's Day Sunday, which history says has battled attendance-wise due to the significance of that day. The crowds have been down. So rather than add an extra to the Sunday, they take one away and put it on Friday night football, which I think you can understand. So that's why, Zook, hopefully that explains it for you. But back to the open line. You call, you get on. Midday Madness, a two-hour block. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the pipe. A pleasure to have the reins. 1-300-736-736. Let's go to Fog on the road. Speaking of attendances, Fog, you got a particular game on your mind as well?
Oh, yeah. Just wondering, what did you have for lunch before you started work, Sammy?
What did I have for lunch today? Well, sort of an early lunch. It was more of a brunch. It was a bowl of muesli, Fog. It unfortunately wasn't that fine produce from McDonald's.
Oh, you're delivering because you're standing in for the late call-in for the pipe. He didn't turn up like all of his mates from Geelong.
Well, they turned up, didn't they, Fog? They had their moments. They just weren't quite as sharp, certainly nowhere near as sharp as they were the week prior against the Blues.
I'm talking about the crowd, though. So if you take, say, 45,000 of Melbourne supporters, that leaves 7,000. And if you look at Melbourne's supporter base, that's an 86% turn-up from a 54,000 membership base at the moment. So there's a myth for you, and there's one that Cats don't travel up the highway to play or even go to the game. So,
wow, they generally travel to play. But, Fog, you're right, though, on the crowd. I don't think you're telling us anything that Geelong supporters wouldn't admit themselves, is that those that are based down the highway are reluctant to travel up to the MCG, particularly for night games and particularly in the middle of winter and particularly on the old school and work nights as well, given the commute back. Can we give them an out for that?
Nah, it's a Saturday night. Come on. It's the best time to go to the footy. No excuses.
Saturday night, they probably run out of excuses. Saturday night, they probably do. But you're right. History says they generally don't travel up, particularly to away games. When it's an away game, as it was from memory with Melbourne, then their members don't tend to travel. I think they obviously attended the Carlton game during the day, admittedly, but a twilight game on the Saturday, what was that, 88,000 or 87,000 or something, a record breaker for those two. So, Fog, it's a good point. I don't think it's anything new, but you put it back on the agenda, just the 51,000 coming to watch the undefeated Cats take on Melbourne at the MCG. Good on you, Foggy. Jose's in Hastings. Welcome, Jose.
How you going, mate? So I was having a bit of good timing with the subject. I was having a bit of a chat yesterday with a couple of mates about Hawthorn Collingwood, and I was talking to them about me being, I was at the record crowd out at Waverley back in 81 when there was 90-odd thousand people there. And we were talking about Peter Hudson in 1971 got flown in by a helicopter and kicked a lazy eight.
It's not bad. And I reckon if you arrive in a helicopter, what's the minimum goals that you really need to kick to justify it, Jose? Maybe it is eight.
It's Peter Hudson, so you'd have to say, six or seven was going to be always on the cards, wasn't it? Maybe eight.
Nicely done, Jose. Good nomination. It's a great story that he's retold a couple of times, the great Peter Hudson. Twinkles is over in WA. Sorry to keep you waiting, Twinkles. Welcome.
Sam, you're great. You've already told everyone that, so I'm not going to ask you that. Before I get to the point I want to talk about, I do want to ask you, have you ever had more fun in a commentary box talking Blues Radio up until the last minute or so? Has it ever been that fun for you?
No, I don't think it has, Twinkles. I can't recall anything off the top, mate. I just remember laughing so hard that Ange and Cooter together are great fun. Yeah, and you're right, it was fun until the last...
I'm a Collingwood fan, but I tuned into Blues Radio. It was so worth it.
Oh, well, hopefully, but, Twinkles, we can get a Collingwood radio up for you at some particular stage.
Yeah, get Nathan Buckley, Eddie Maguire, and Mick Malthouse. That'll be great fun.
All right. Well, there's your wish list. By the way, if people are listening to you, Twinkles, and you want a Pies radio, we need callers. This is the challenge. You need boxes at the game. There's only so many to go around. But you need callers too. So if we are to workshop a Pies radio, Werribee Kia open line 1300 736 736. Who have you got behind the mic? Sorry, Twinkles, carry on.
That's okay. Hey, look, I've done a lot of footy calling, country footy. I'm happy to put my hand up. I've been a Pies supporter 54 years. But the reason I'm calling, like, the reserves comp in the Waffle and Sandfall and VFL and that sort of thing, there's a lot of old blokes who are never going to play in the top grade, and they're just sort of taking spots who should really be going back to the AMO. So I've got a couple of kids who play Waffle in WA, and the idea we've come up with is, why can't they turn the reserves competition into, like, an under-23 development league, much the same as your Colts or your PAC Cup up to under 19, but the kids that missed the draft, is actually a development league thing to follow in, and that's sort of, filled out with the guys who are fringe league players who are up and down out of the top sides. But they're talking about trying to get numbers together for the future of, like, the expansion of the AFL. And I think if you sort of, there's a lot of kids who sort of miss the draft and then sort of drift off and play the country footy, but if there was somewhere for them to sort of stay in the system, I think that's the way we need to sort of look towards developing those numbers and the quality of junior footy we've got.
Twinkles, your line is average at best. I think I got the gist of it. Unfortunately, the line just didn't quite stack up in the end. But an under-23 competition, to be honest, the VFL needs a massive overhaul anyway. We know that. Port Adelaide have been grumbling about getting out of the Sandfall and going into a national competition. I think it's messy at the moment. And, for a start, it's up and down the entire eastern seaboard, and it's called the VFL. It needs a massive overhaul, and I think everyone would agree with that. Ashley, Bailey, Rick, Ted, and Mick, sit tight. We've got to get to the news, but you call, you get on. That's the promise that I have to uphold for Dwayne. He'd be disappointed otherwise. It's Midday Madness for Work Locker, Karen Nans and Packet, and Workwear for wherever you work. To have Amy Drew in the newsroom. Welcome back. This is Dwayne's World. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the pipe, and the Werribee Kia open line is on fire for Midday Madness. 1300 736 736. The popular names, just quickly, for Pies Radio, they're pouring in. Swanee, Dakes, that's Peter, and Daisy Thomas coming through loud and clear. What about Dakes just going back to Friday night, leaning out of that box, giving it the big up yours? And what about his assessments of the umpires? Who caught that on the broadcast? Let the magic slip, old Dakes, in the live broadcast for Roaming Brian, if you don't mind. Who caught that? Ashley's in Clayton. We've opened the show talking about famous late inclusions, a stack of them coming through, and I think Ash has got one for us. How are you, Ash?
G'day, Sam. How are you, buddy?
I'm going well.
Yeah, I think Stewie Jew might have played for Port Adelaide, and he was in the stands and might have had six pies and kicked six goals, I think.
Good on you, Ash.
I think you got a call up against, might have been Adelaide, I think.
Yeah, you might be right there, actually. I just always come back to the grand final performance of Stewie Jew, as so many of us do. Good call, Ash. Sit tight. I'll sling you that grandmother ham, half a grandmother ham, valued at $80 thanks to Barclay Smokehouse. Hang around on the line. I've got to get rid of some of these prizes that are just getting weighty. Rick is on the road. Rick, sorry, mate. I might have stolen your thunder regarding Dakes.
No, I just want to say it was a great... I love the way a father can just celebrate like that to the family and seeing the kids just... his kids just dominate the AFL like he once did. But I've got a bone to pick. Am I allowed to pick a bone?
You're right, 100%. You can pick a few.
I want to pick a bone with Luke Hodge. He's come on online and spoke about how Peter Dacos basically was... giving it a little bit to the umpires after the game in Roman Bryan Roman Bryan, basically barged into a conversation he had no right to, and basically put Dakes on the mic, and it was a bit of explicit language. But I mean, who is Luke Hodge to say, he shouldn't be sitting there talking about the umpires, this, that, the other? I mean, he's allowed to vent his frustration to whoever he wants. It was a private conversation. And BT doing Roman Bryan just butted in there and just they got a glimpse of it on the mic. Now, I just feel it's a bit unfair and a bit of a knee-jerk reaction from Luke Hodge to come out and talk about it. I know he hates Collingwood. Everyone knows he hates Collingwood. And he comes out and tries to pick on somebody and saying it's going to be a bad thing for his sons when they play further down the track and the umpires aren't going to give his kids any help. I just think Luke Hodge's just going nowhere with it. I think he just needs to just stop trying to create a narrative around it. Just move on.
Hey, Rick, Hodgie's big enough and ugly enough to defend himself, but did you hear him when he said this or did you read the comments?
I heard a glimpse of what he was talking about.
Yeah, so I was on air with him at the time and I can safely say, and again, he can defend himself, not making excuses, the tongue was firmly planted in the cheek. It was a light-hearted comment and he was having a bit of fun. Certainly not a criticism of Peter Dacos.
No, I didn't say it was a criticism. I just think... why even bring it up? Like, you're putting it on national radio. Of course it's going to get heard. If you talk about it, then everyone's going to know about it. So if you just leave it, I don't want to go on and I can be saying the same thing about why am I bringing it up. But at the same time, I just thought it was just a bit knee-jerkish. That's just my opinion.
All right, Rick.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking the time to call in. Ted's down in Ocean Grove. How are you, Teddy?
Hey, Sammy. As a Saints supporter, I'm absolutely thrilled with the progress of Darcy Wilson. And I follow the stats quite closely, and I think he might be top five in K's covered so far this year. I just want to acknowledge, for a kid that's done, maybe half a pre-season, that's an outstanding effort. And I believe he could be a really big thing.
Yep, I'm a massive fan of his, Ted. And did you see Ross Lyon's press conference after the game at the weekend?
I did, yeah. And he described it in a way only Ross could. But this kid's tough, and I think he's going to be a favourite for a very long time.
I reckon he's already got some leadership traits that are coming through as well, Ted. And yeah, he's hard, which was, as Ross detailed in his press conference, was the one knock on him as an underage kid, his competitiveness and his contest. But gee, that was a massive hit with George Wardlaw, and both of those boys showed tremendous courage in that act and then to play on. So, gee, the future is in good hands. A few more Darcy Wilsons in the door, Ted, and the Saints are on a good thing. The Werribee Kia open line, 1-300-736-736. In fact, Teddy, sit tight. I'll flick you the pink lemonade voucher for a round of Grey Goose vodka to share with some of your mates. Play starts and finishes at Pink Lemonade. So that's Swan Street, Richmond. I know you're down there at Ocean Grove, but next time you're up in the city, you can get yourself along to Pink Lemonade, sponsored by Grey Goose Vodka. Just before we break, there's a text here. Sammy, was Kane Corns' harsh assessment of Harley Reid's quote-unquote training standards a little bit hypocritical, seeing how defensive he has been when it came to Jason Owen Francis and the issues he had at North Melbourne regarding training standards / ice bars? I've got this on my running sheet. I really want to get to this at some stage in the next half an hour to an hour and discuss it with you guys. And I'll bring you up to speed if you missed Kane Corns' comments. They're already heavily debated around the place as well. Not many things are... I'm a big Kane Corns fan, to be honest, and not many things he says really ruffle my feathers, But I found my blood boiling listening to that last night. I was quite shocked at just how opposed I was to Kane's take on Footy Classified. Anyway, we'll break it all down in a moment. Maybe one more before we break, because I want to prioritise these calls. John is in Mill Park. Johnny, the umpiring, dare I ask, welcome to you.
Thanks for taking my call, Sam. Oh, thank God we've finally seen some journalists understand that there has definitely been some sort of discussion within the AFL about the Richmond Footy Club and as to how they go about playing a game. But what happened on Sunday was, and it's not just Sunday, but how can you have every single week such a huge differential in umpiring decision when I see them tackle the same, I see them do the same that everyone else does when a free kick is meant to be paid. But the funny thing is that they don't pay the free kicks when the opposition team do the same to Richmond. And as far as Justin Longmuir is concerned, hey, Justin, I hope you're listening. You must have glasses that don't allow you to see clearly, or you need to go to Specsavers. When you're complaining about Jai Amos, I was actually standing right behind that, and I can tell you who initiated the contact and who grabbed Ben Miller around the throat. It was Jai Amos. And that's a real sad thing to turn around and say that Richmond were specifically manhandling an you're manhandling an AFL footballer? Are we joking? Justin Longmuir, get a grip of yourself and stop trying to do what Hardwick's doing and what the rest of these coaches are that want assistance from the AFL. I mean, you're a joke. You're an absolute joke.
Johnny, thanks for the call. It was interesting because Ben Miller did get fined by the MRO for that incident in the end. But oh, look, I'm not one to bang on about the umpires. I sort of think swings and roundabouts with these sort of things, and that won't calm the farm amongst the yellow and black out there. There were a number of holding the balls that should have been paid in Richmond's favour and weren't, but that's a bigger issue at the moment. Players given so long and so much leniency to get rid of the ball at times in a holding the ball prior opportunity sense. So new umpires boss Steve McBurney is going to join Dwayne on Thursday. You won't want to miss that. He's just joined the AFL umpires department, Steve Burney. I don't know how many games he umpired. Might have been 500 plus or something like that. He's going to join Dwayne on Thursday, so you won't want to miss it. Stick around. Midday Madness will continue after this break. We might get into the Harley Reid situation as well. But Albert, I'll see you up next. Tom in Berwick as well. And the Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736. Werribee Kia always makes buying cars easy.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Stack of calls here, so we're going to whip through as many as we can up till 1 o'clock. Just before we do that, our tribunal update for Arnold Thomas and Becker. Talk to a lawyer and start your no-win, no-fee claim today. Injured? Call Arnold Thomas and Becker, 1300 333 000. Confirmation the AFL tribunal will not sit tonight. All sanctions accepted, including Callum Brown's 3-match ban for bumping Tom McCartan, Lockie Schultz's 1-match ban for striking Blake Akers, and obviously Tom Liberatore's 1-match ban for a dangerous tackle on Will Day. It's 333 000. My apologies. 1300 333 300. I'll get it right the third time. Arnold Thomas and Becker, 1300 333 300. The Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736. I know that one, and Albert's called it. Albert, welcome to you.
G'day, Sammy. How you going, mate? I've got one of your late call-ups.
Fire when ready.
Back in about 2017, we're at the golf club in Bendigo, and Lucas Herbert gets a call that a player had dropped out of the Aussie Open up in Sydney.
Mm-hmm.
This was on a Wednesday. He got the option to go and play on the Thursday, so Lindsay, his dad, great fella, threw him in the car, made up a bed. He slept all night and teed off at 8 o'clock the next morning.
Love it, Albert. Love it. And given you've called about golf, hang around on the line. Just let Mitch know if this doesn't take your fancy, but you're welcome to it. It's the 18 holes of golf for you and a mate with a cart. You can get 18 holes of golf for two with drinks and a cart midweek for $99. That's clubmandalay.com.au. Thanks, Albert. Tom's in Berwick. Tommy, what's happening?
Yeah, g'day, Sam. Hope you're doing well, mate. I'm a long-suffering Kangaroos supporter, so I need your opinion on this. The talk around getting the experienced players through the door, I think, is fantastic. And if we can get Pendlebury, that'd be a real coup.
Yep.
I think it might have been Luke Hodge or possibly Jimmy Bartel made a comment around if you're getting them through the door as assistant coaches, that you might even give him a little wink, wink, nudge, nudge that there could be a succession plan in place about possibly being a senior coach. What do you think about that, and could you see that happening?
Yeah, Tom, I think both of them, to answer your question, we had this conversation on Sports Day as well, got us thinking about how North Melbourne probably haven't got this part of their list strategy right. I thought Melbourne historically did it really well with the guys that came in, Jordan Lewis, Bernie Vince, just to name a couple, and there's another one that escapes me. But they got them in at the right time for what they – just solid citizens. Daniel Cross was the other one. So they've still got a couple of years of footy in front of them, solid citizen, good leaders. And if they're interested in coaching, like Scott Pendlebury might be, then, yeah, then maybe there's the transition into coaching thereafter. I'm not sure about the senior coach, but an assistant coaching role. So would it be someone like a Scott Pendlebury, Tom? Would it be someone like a Jackson McRae at the Western Bulldogs? And as hard as it would be, another name we spitballed at the time, could you get a Mitch Duncan out of Geelong at North Melbourne to play on a back flank just to provide a steadying hand? And if he's interested in development or assistant coaching, maybe that's a path you can go down. North Melbourne have got deep pockets. I'm sure they could overpay to get one, two of these guys in to help them. Has it got the kids? I reckon they just need some guiding hands on the field. Thanks for your call, Tommy. Ray's on the road. Ray, welcome.
G'day, mate.
What's happening?
Just a quick one I wanted to run by you. So I'm a Collingwood supporter. Let's put that up front. I'm not whinging about bad decisions, because bad decisions are in every single game. And in the Collingwood-Carlton game, there was some real howlers against Collingwood, and there were equally as many howlers against Carlton. What I wanted to bring to your attention was the third quarter, Matt Owies.
Yep, I know it.
In the punt road end, yeah. So what happened there, he grabbed the ball, Maynard putting like in a bear hug, and yep. Matt Owies drops his body and tries to judo flip Maynard over him, but Maynard was stronger, so Maynard collapses on him.
Yep.
He gets a free kick, kicks the goal, gets up and laughs. Now, there's a couple of things that worry me. I don't care he got the goal. It was a stupid free kick. I'm more concerned that what would have happened if Braden Maynard had a rolled and hurt Matt Owies, or Braden Maynard had been flipped over by Matt Owies and did a shoulder or something.
Yeah.
We're opening up this can of worms where it was a stupid free kick. The umpires were not unsighted, and Matt Owies gets up and laughs. Now, when you allow these sorts of things going forward, and it's nothing against Matt Owies, he's a great player, you allow these things to creep in, we get to this situation where people start howling and saying, you know, why are you... Somebody's going to get hurt by what Matt Owies did.
Ray, it's a difficult one, and I'm with you, and a free kick was paid very hard for the umpires in real time. Michael Christian explained it because it did go before him at the MRO, and he said Owies contributed to it fully, but in real time, really hard for the umpires. But I'm with you, it's dangerous, they're playing with fire. A break on Dwayne's World, Midday Madness resumes next.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Yes, it is. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the Pipe, who's probably just sourcing himself for another couple of cartons for a big weekend of action behind the microphone. Midday Madness continues. Chris is in Newport before we get to the news. Hey, Chris.
G'day, Sammy. Just wanted to say that it's good to see this year that the Rising Star isn't going to be the Harley Reid Award. And don't get me wrong, love Harley, love what he's doing. But I feel players like Colby McKercher, you know, bloody Darcy Wilson, and yep. especially the Duke, who you've got on later on today. I actually think Caleb's probably been the most consistent, played every game so far this year. Obviously, a lot of comparisons have been made to Robbie Flower a bit ahead of time. But I feel like right now, Caleb's probably leading that brigade. Obviously, Harley's been spectacular in what he's done. But if we're going on pure, like, every game, being there every game, hitting his targets, everything like that, I feel like the Duke's way up there.
Good on you, Chris. A point well made there. We'll flick you the Dwayne's World T-shirt if it takes your fancy, and why wouldn't it? For calling in, thanks for taking the time to do that. That news means the news is inbound after the headlines. We'll continue. So Martin, Mick, Chris, Bernard and Marshy, sit tight. You and plenty more are to come on the Werribee Kia open line. Got a couple of subjects I want to raise with you as well. Sam Edmund sitting in for Dwayne. Midday Madness will resume in our second hour in just a moment.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
If you're tuning in for the first time, the Pipe's away today and tomorrow. Sam Edmund with you for the next couple of hours on this glorious Tuesday afternoon, at least in my part of the world. I hope your day is going smoothly as well. The Barclays Smokehouse lunch menu today. Make sure you ask for grandmother ham at your local deli. Round 8 AFL rising star Caleb Windsor. Really looking forward to having a chat to the Duke down at Melbourne. Simon Hill, so much happening in the world of football here and internationally. And a segment called I've Seen the Light. So just start thinking about this one. Let this one marinate. What have you seen the light on? We'll take your calls on that thanks to Werribee Kia shortly. 1-300-736-736. The 40 Wings Temper text, by the way, 0433-98-1116. A great night's sleep, night after night after night. That is the difference. The difference is temper. So I've got Martin, Mick, Chris, Bernard and Marshy on the line. Just before I get to you, magnificent five gentlemen, I'm going to admit, I'm a big Kane Corns guy. Even when I disagree with the volcano, I marvel at his ability to provide all subjects of discussion in the game, thought-provoking subjects. He's like nothing, I think, in the media that we've ever seen. So I'm pretty easygoing. I'm not sure he's upset me more, though, than his take on Harley Reid last night on Footy Classified, questioning Harley's physical condition, suggesting he's got poor training standards, and suggesting he's guilty of poor efforts. If you miss this, this is what you missed.
This is the level that Harley Reid has to get to, Nick Dacos level. I understand there's a couple of years extra on there, but Nick was doing this from day one. So the hype, all of that, the media is there and it's real. If he wants to be Jordan Ngoi, that's fine and that's what he will get to. If he wants to be the best, if he wants to be Nick Dacos, he's got to have his training standards level.
How do you know what his training standards are?
Well, because I'm seeing him in the last 5 minutes of a game. I don't know what his training standards
are. Saying he's not fit enough.
I'm saying that was a concern for me to see how out on his feet he was late in a game that was nowhere near as high pressure as the Collingwood one after a week off with 5 minutes to go that he had to come off the ground.
You don't know whether he was injured or whether what?
No, I do because he came back on the ground. So he's not injured, he's cramping. And a cramp is a sign of conditioning after a week off. If you want to be as good as Nick, and that's the comparison that he's there, and rightly so, and I've praised Harley Reid, I think he's been enormous for West Coast, I think he's made them relevant again. I love the fact of how competitive he is and how much of a winner he is, but that doesn't mean you get away with poor efforts and poor training standards. He's got to make sure they're high.
Are you saying you think he has got poor training standards?
Well, I'm saying that's a concern for me.
That's a young man who's cramped, Kane.
Yeah, 8 games in. And that's a concern for me.
So that was it last night on Footy Classified. Now, I reckon few corners of the country get as fired up and as protective and as sensitive as their friends over in WA. I feel I can say that. They rally around their own. Now, Tim Gossage called Kane Corns out last night on Twitter. Called him out for hypocrisy too, considering Jason Horne-Francis's journey from North Melbourne to Port Adelaide. And this is where Kane is good. He takes the call. He agrees to go on a live radio show, SENWA, with Scotty and Goss. And there might be many of you who haven't heard this. This was how the exchange played out on Perth Radio this morning.
Do you take any of those comments back or you stand by them? Good morning.
Okay, Goss. No, I stand by them. I guess I've been a big fan of what he's done and the way that he's made the footy club relevant. I love how competitive he is. And I guess it's not really a criticism. I think as a young player, what you're looking to do is learn from the best. And to listen to Craig McRae speak about Nick Dacos and the way that he was able to run at high speeds late in that game and the winning goal that he kicked, and then comparing that to what I saw from Harley, I think it is an area of improvement. And if he wants to be great, as I said, then you learn from the best. And understand it's his first year and all of that, but there's no stopping how good he can be early on in his career. And that was just a little bit of a learning for him that I think he can take from one of the best players going around in the game.
He's 7 games in, Kane.
Yeah, I understand that, Goss. That doesn't mean that you just are happy with where you're at. I think as a young player, you're striving to be great. And look, we've pumped up Harley Reid. We've given him more compliments than any player. The minute you give him some constructive feedback or some level of, okay, this is what the best are doing, am I at that level? And only he will know that, and only the club will know that. There's no stopping and there's no limit on where he can get to in his first year. We saw what Nick Dacos did. We saw the premiership that he won early on in his career. We see what he's doing in his third year. So there's no stop where Hartley to, regardless of the fact that it is only his first year.
Is Harley Reid living rent-free in your head, though? Do you look at Harley Reid and judge him harder than anyone else because of the expectation that the West Australian newspaper has put on him with, you know, 45 back pages of the last 50? Do you just focus only on him? Because there was a bloke, young bloke who's played 47 games, who played in a showdown the other day, who I felt at various times in the showdown let his team down in crunch moments. And I don't know what platform, which one you're on, but have you spoken about Jason Horne-Francis not being big in a big game?
I thought he was pretty good. I thought Jason Horne-Francis was pretty good. He voted in the showdown medal. I think he got one vote from Tim Ginever.
He had 15 touches. He's worse for the season, and he got a vote from Tim Ginever. Yet Connor Rose, he had 37 and didn't get a vote.
Connor Rosie did his hammy and went off, so it wasn't.
Zach Butters.
He went forward, and they identified that he was the one that could win the game for them, and he almost did it. But you're right, like his left foot, should have been a left foot shot that he had, but he missed that opportunity, took a mark inside 450 that was overturned from a free kick. But he did kick two goals, and he looked like the only Port Adelaide player that was going to get them back into that game. But that's not to say that there's no criticism of Horne-Francis. Like, Reid is at a different level than Horne-Francis in his first year, if you remember what Jason was doing at North Melbourne. And the same question should apply to him. Did he work hard enough in his first year? And the answer to that would be no. And then, so was that a wasted first year for Horne-Francis? These are the lessons that I think you learn from those that have come before you and what the best are doing. By no means is this stinging criticism. I think it is a player who would ask himself the question, am I fully prepared right now to play out 120 minutes of football? And that game was up for grabs in the balance, and he just couldn't go, Goss. You saw him. He couldn't run, came off for 4 minutes, and they had to put him back deep forward. And I think that's fair and reasonable criticism, regardless of the fact of how long he's been in the system for.
All right, you've heard it all. So the Werribee Kia Overline, 1300 736 736, had to bring you up to speed with that. Now, Harley's in the AFL game now. It's a big time with the big opinions and the big scrutiny, so he's not, and he should not, be immune from that. But just a couple of things. Why is he being compared to Nick Daicos anyway? As Susan says here, poor Harley. He's played 7 games. Already the critics are coming. He's a different player to Nick Daicos. Goodness, leave the young lad alone. Nick, as good as he was, and he's very, very good, he played half back in his debut year anyway. And why is Kane questioning the fitness of a 7-gamer who had a naturally shortened preseason as a draftee and was carefully managed as a result? He's playing, speaking of role, the majority of his games as an inside midfielder against season-hardened AFL bodies. Who else has done this, and who else has thrown senior players around like rag dolls as a teenage player in their first year? Now, Kane didn't criticise Jason Horne-Francis for a lack of chasing, arguing with teammates, berating teammates in his first season at North Melbourne. In fact, he mocked the fact that he didn't do everything to fasten his recovery with the ice bath incident. He went the other way. So we've had a go. Kane sat alongside me. We did it on SEM Breakfast over summer. We had a laugh at the West Australian, and I was with him when we both had a go at that paper for the ridiculous run of back pages that focused on him and only on him. And for this scrutiny to come on top of it from Kane, I couldn't believe. It's going to become a thing, isn't it? And he's never going to back away. But that's his opinion. And look, Harley Reid is exposed to that now as a player in the game. I thought personally that he missed the mark on this occasion. Aaron's in Sky on the Werribee Kia open line. How you going, Azza?
Hey, how are you, mate?
What's happening?
Oh, look, just enjoying the sunshine on this beautiful Tuesday.
Was Kane on the money with Harley or not?
I'm reticent to say that he was bang on. Look, the kid is young, and the kid's got a lot of pressure on him. And whether you agree with it or not, carrying the number one pick tag and going to a team that has been basically playing itself into irrelevancy over the last 5 years is going to come with, I suppose, a level of scrutiny. But I also, like, just on Kane's, I suppose, inability to want to criticise Horne-Francis in his first year, or just be a little bit,
yeah.
What's the terminology here?
Critical.
So, did you think that it was a fair complaint with Horne-Francis that he was always going to leave North to want to come home to South Australia?
Now, I don't know the answer to that, Aaron, but this is the part that I struggle with. Like, he can have his say on Harley Reid, but it's the comparison that's undeniable with Jason All-Francis, who was also a number one pick, who was also heavily scrutinised. And I remember it so well. And the things that you were hearing out of North Melbourne at the time were, this kid doesn't chase. He picks and chooses when he applies defensive pressure. He's arguing with his teammates. He's berating them on the bench in full earshot of opposition players. So again, this is an 18-year-old coming to grips with the AFL system and growing up in it. But Kane never had a go at, and I can vividly remember all the down the ground, behind the goals vision. It was running all the footy shows, everything at the time. He didn't cramp. He just didn't chase. And yet we've got a kid here who just happens to cramp late in a game against Essendon as a seven-gamer. And I'm sorry, but it sounded like criticism. I know Kane says it wasn't. But he's coming for some criticism off the back of that. I find that really hard to comprehend, to be honest. That's just my take. And some people might agree with it. And I love the fact that Kane has a strong opinion on most things, as I said off the top. And I love the fact that it gets us thinking and it takes us into directions that many of us don't take. But I'm not coming for that, to be honest. Keep your text coming through on it. You can give us a buzz as well. Thanks for your call, Aaron. And for doing so, if it takes your fancy, I'll flick you the double pass to the Melbourne Mavericks v Thunderbirds. Go to melbournemavericks.com for tickets. Harley Reid is going to be an absolute superstar. That's nothing that we don't already know. The physical gifts the kid has at 18, 19, having just turned, what's he going to be doing with, forget three or four, what's he going to be doing with one full preseason under the belt? He's going to be absolutely amazing. Off the text, Harley's a tough inside C-ball, get-ball power player that can take a mark. Dacos is an outside running player, and he should be and has to be a better runner. He's a freak athlete, Nick Dacos. But you're right, coming back to that text, they are dramatically different players in terms of the physical gifts that they possess. Yeah, some text coming through here that can't be read and some strong opinions. That's fine. I thought I'd address it if you had missed it. You can have your say on that. 1-300-736-736. Martin's been waiting on the line really patiently over there in WA. Martin, welcome. Thanks for hanging on.
No worries, mate. My one for you is Richmond. I'm a Richmond supporter and have been for nearly 50 years, and I'm going to upset quite a few Richmond supporters with this, what I'm going to say. But there's obviously... when Dimmer was around, he got Hopper and Taranto in to top up the team. And obviously, Richmond's on a decline at the moment, even though we've got lots of injuries, I understand that. But they were talking a lot of talk about Shea Bolton and Dusty and Baker and all that, all leaving. What do you reckon? Should Adam Uze have a big clean out and get rid of pretty much anyone who's got any collateral for draft picks?
Well, the last club that did something similar to this, Martin, is North Melbourne. And they've been rebuilding since forever. So be careful what you wish for here. If you get the secateurs out, that's fine. If you're going to get the big hedge trimmer out and the chainsaw, it can be a very different story. Look, Liam Baker might make the decision for them and want to go back to WA. That's fine. You can't control that. But bringing in Hopper, I think, was a mistake. Taranto's probably sits in a different... conversation. I think it's also the players you bring in when you're coming off the back of a dynasty as much as the players that you let go, Martin. Like, if you think of Hawthorn as well, where it was O'Meara and Mitchell, was that a mistake? Yes. What Richmond have done as well was probably a mistake. This is where Geelong have just done it so incredibly well to rejuvenate and renovate on the run. Sydney are much the same, although they've got the academies, but the Cats have got the father sons. And this is where we get into slippery territory with concessions and the inequality across the competition. It's a delicate space, though, for your Tigers, Martin, this year. No doubt about that. A number of big list management decisions to make. Chris is down in Howrah in Tassie. Chris, welcome to you.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm going well.
Excellent. I've got a late call-up for you, first and foremost.
Oh, fire went ready.
Chaplin from Richmond, smacking on a muffin in the coach's box and then getting told to go down and cover for Dylan Grimes has done his hammy.
Oh, who was that? Sorry, Chris?
Troy Chaplin.
Troy Chaplin, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, apparently he was last-minute call-up. He was in the change rooms having a muffin and got told to warm up after... Grimes done his hammy and he was still getting strapped as the game started, so he didn't know if he was starting forward or back.
Yeah. Hey, Chris.
I reckon that's as late as they come.
That's very nice. Now, listen, you're in Howrah, just on the other side of Hobart there, the river, looking across to where this stadium's going to be, I think we can say now, going to be built at Mac Point there. Who do you barrack for, Chris? You a Tiger?
Nah, I'm a Hawk, mate.
So
that was the second part.
What do you do when the Devils come in?
go for Hawthorn and except for when they're playing Tassie. Well, go for Tassie except for when they're playing with Hawthorn.
Right, so Hawthorn gets priority.
I'm a Hawthorn through, but yeah, absolutely. But yeah, Tassie will definitely have a place in, I reckon, majority of Tasmanians' homes.
And I think you had something to say about small forwards in the comp. Is that right?
Yeah, Dylan Moore is in discussion as the best small forward in the comp right now.
Oh, the best small forward in the comp. Not for mine. I would have, off the top of my head, Tyson Stengel above him. But I think Tyson might just be about back to all Australian form. But I saw Dylan Moore up close on the weekend, on Sunday, and yeah, I was very impressed. Good player. One of many at the weekend as well. They're excellent against the Doggies. Good on you, Chris, and you can agree or disagree with that opinion. Steve's in South Morang. Welcome, Stevie.
Sammy, how are you, mate?
What do you think of Harley Reid and Kane's take?
Mate, I think Harley Reid's going to be an absolute superstar. You can't criticise the kid after 7 games. And not only that, fair enough, Dacos is the level, but from what we've seen already from Harley Reid, the guy's going to be a gun. But in saying that, not only did he criticise Harley Reid last night, he even took a swipe at Jordan DeGoey, because he said, does he want to be like Nick Dacos or Jordan DeGoey? Now, what the hell does that mean?
Yes, he did say that, Steve. You're spot on. Like he was if you want to be Jordan DeGoey, that's fine. But if you want to be Nick Dacos, appreciate your call, Steve. Dave's in Officer Dave. Welcome to Midday Madness.
Yeah, g'day. I just wanted to clarify something. Was he actually comparing vision of Nick Dacos this year to Harley Reid?
He had vision of Nick Dacos this year, yes.
I don't see the point that he's trying to make, because if it was vision of him in his first year, it'd make a hell of a lot of sense.
Yeah, but forget the vision though, Dave. He is trying to compare first year to first year.
Well, not with the examples that he's giving. I mean, if you're going to give actual examples as to how a player's performing in their first year, I mean, if you have a look back at Nick Dacos in his first year and see if he was cramping, I dare say at some stage he would have been. I just think his criticism's absurd, and I think he's officially lost it.
Laura's in Mill Park. Laura, how are you doing?
Hey, Sam, good. I think you should have your own show, by the way. A cooking show on a Sunday would be just sweet.
Cooking. yep.
In terms of Harley Reid, I think that let the kid play. You know what? Like, some people don't take all the attention and the criticism. They don't like it. So just let him play. Let him play. No, he's not going to be good because he's not perfect and it's his first year in the AFL.
Yeah.
Stop putting the expectations. I think he's amazing. I love watching him, and I'm not a West Coast supporter. It's the same with Bevo. Like, what I don't understand is, okay, 18 teams in the AFL. Only one's going to win the premiership. Mm. How in the world are people saying anything about Bevo when in the last 18 years he's won a premiership? And then when does it become acceptable? Because they've made finals in that time. Like, just leave him alone. He's done what a number of other coaches haven't. I mean, look how long it's been since the Poor Saints have won one. Freo haven't won one. We know where Gold Coast are. But so I think, you know what, just let it go. Let him be. Kane needs to stop in terms of Harley Reid. I get that it's not a big news leak, but leave the kids alone.
Nice piece of common sense, Laura. Somewhat refreshing at 20 past one on a Tuesday afternoon. Thanks for taking the time to pick up the phone. We'll get a break in here on Dwayne's World. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the pipe. We've got a big Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu still to come in our final hour, but the first two are all about you. The Werribee Kia open line, 1300 736 736.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
All right, I'm going to rip straight back into the Werribee Kia open line. I'm following direct orders here. There's a lot of them, and I've got to work quick. And so do you. So Bernard's in Glen Iris. Fire when you're ready there, Bernard.
Good on you, Sammy. This might be a bit controversial, but do you think the St Kilda Football Club should put Max King on the trade table?
Absolutely not, Bernard. Why do you think they should?
Not producing. Like this, I think this might be his fifth year. He's not fit. He doesn't tackle. He doesn't chase. And he looks as though he hasn't got his heart into it.
Well, I think he's got his heart in. I'd just like to see him have a good run with it. I mean, he kicked 52 goals a couple of years ago when he did, Bernard, and he had an interrupted season last season. He had interrupted pre-season. He started pretty well this year, and then he got suspended. He was supposed to fill his boots against North Melbourne, and he was soundly beaten by Aiden Corr, which isn't a great result, but I'm backing him in. I'm certainly, certainly not trading him. Good on you, Bernard. Bruno's down in Geelong. Bruno, welcome.
Yeah, Sam, just a quick one, mate. The Kane Corns is so defined by what he doesn't like and what he doesn't approve of and what he doesn't admire. From a journalistic point of view, it's very easy to write negative stories. You've got to dig a little deeper to find some positive stuff. I couldn't help but think about the young Collingwood guy that debuted on the weekend.
Yep.
I'm sick to death of Kane Corns, Captain Negative, and I'm sure the SEN listeners are better than that. This is cheap, clickbait journalism. I'm over him, mate. I think someone needs to ask him if he's okay because, mate, if he is that focused on the negative in his whole life, I'm worried for him.
Bruno, Lachie Sullivan is the player you're referring to, and I might mention him in my Seeing the Light a little bit later on. He was magnificent. Michael's in Essendon. G'day, Mick.
G'day.
Oh, we got you, Michael?
Yeah, you got me now?
Gotcha. Fire when you're ready, mate.
Ready. G'day, Sam. I was reluctant to call because I seriously don't want to give Kane any attention and, you know, because that's all he's after. But there is an article on your website, of which you're in it, that says Corn stunned by Perth Media's Harley Reid obsession. Right? And you've asked him numerous questions in that article. And he says, the hype is just like nothing I've ever seen. Where does it end? He got on the back page because he had a light session yesterday. He was a bit sore, so he didn't do the full complement of training, and that made the back page. And this is the crux. I hope they don't drive him out of the place because it's getting a bit extreme. He's just a contradiction. He can't, you know, and I'm glad you've brought him up on it and Gary Lyon has, and more at SEN need to pull him up on it because it's just a joke.
Well, it's an opinion, Michael. You and I don't agree with it. Some might, but yeah, that conversation that you referenced came to my mind straight away over the summer months. Marshy's in, well, he's in old 29. How you doing, Marshy?
Oh, yip, yip, Sammy. Doing well. Thank you for taking my call. Need your help. Round 24 against Carlton, Saners, it needs to be moved to the G because I'll tell you what, I hate Carlton as much as the next person, but they bring a crowd. And so they want to move their game, have more games at the G. So they can bring their 60,000. Saners will bring out 22,009 supporters. It would just be, you know, unfair to those who miss out on this blockbuster because the last time we played at the G, 2018, Carlton are coming off, they wound up winning the Wooden Spoon, second last game of the year, and that drew 52,000. So I would love to see it, and I hope you can make that happen because Carlton could be playing for a top four spot. Saners could be just right on their heels. But even if we're not playing for finals, what better way to enter a pre-season. Carlton, you've got to respect that they turn up. They're a hostile environment, and I'd love to see 80,000 at the end of the year.
Marshy, and I would love to see your calendar. You might be the most organised man on the planet if you're bringing me to round 24 and where St Kilda and Carlton are playing. But what you say has merit. I can't remember the last time the AFL changed. In fact, if someone can enlighten me, the last time the AFL changed a venue for a game, I'd love to hear it. I don't reckon it's happened forever and a day, and it's not going to move. The time's not locked in. I can't see the venue moving. I reckon that's locked in. But, yep, it'll be full to the rafters, Marshy, if the Saints are going to come along with the Blues and knock on the door for finals football. The Werribee Kia open line, 1-300-736-736. Got another half an hour of solid calls left in us. Don't be shy. Johnny, Nick, James, John, Pat and Tony, you're up after the news. Midday Madness continues. Beach Boys, not my choice. You can blame A-Rod for that. John's in Surry Hills. Hey, Johnny.
G'day. Look, just no one's been able to explain to me yet the Carlton selection for last Friday night's game. Carroll was dropped. Hollands was dropped. I think Kemp was dropped as well. And we had Kennedy on the bench for most of the game. Mm. I know that Chera was in, and maybe that's why Carroll was out of the team. But we've played other games in the past recently where Carroll's been at the sub. I just think they made too many changes, and I don't understand. Someone could explain to me why they made those changes. It'd make my day.
Fair enough, Johnny. All I'll say is I reckon Orazio Fantasia's days might be numbered. I reckon his number, in fact, might be up this week. Nick's in Hoppers Crossing. How are you, Nick?
Hi, Sammy. Thanks for taking my call, friend. What I wanted to say is I want Dan Corns. Okay, he has his own opinion, but he should back off from Harley Reid. He's going to be a very good player. Just look at his own team, Port Adelaide, with Connor Rosie, what they've done there, and Ken Hinckley. So just back off, leave the guy alone, and every time he's on radio or TV, I'll just turn the dial. It's wasting electricity.
Waste of electricity is extreme. Hope you have a great day, Nick. Good on you, mate. Thanks for calling in. Out to Ivanhoe next. James is with us. Hi, James.
G'day, Sam. How you going?
Hey, going all right. Hope you are too.
Mate, one quick thing. If young Harley Reid was in black, teal and white, I reckon it wouldn't have been a word said, only praise. But I want to see how consistent the AFL are going to be with their violence stance, which I congratulate them on. It's fantastic. We don't need no violence against women. And they took an easy free kick of making sure Wayne Carey never got into fitness status. But does that mean that they're going to have a zero drug policy now? Because a lot of drug-induced and alcohol-induced men have violence against women.
Very, very different issues, James, I would have thought. But no, I'm not sure they're going to have... Look, they're going to come under immense pressure with the IDP. They already are. I'm not sure there's going to be fundamental change to the IDP. From what I'm hearing, for what is a voluntary policy from the players, I don't think there's going to be significant change there. Now, that's going to upset some people. It's going to upset a lot of people. I just don't see that happening at the moment, and that's what I'm hearing. But very different issues, James. Pat's in Melton. How you doing there, Patty?
How are you, Sammy? This won't take long. I'm sort of friends with a fair few people in the media and are always very respectful, and I absolutely love your stuff, Sam. I listen to you all the time. I love you as a news hand. I think you're fantastic. Somehow, I don't know how this has happened, but you've blocked me on Twitter, and I don't get upset with people. And I've tried to message in to say, hey, Sammy, can you unblock me? I don't know why I've been blocked. So it's just a reach out to you, and because I love to keep up to date with what's going on in footy if I'm out and about and everything. And, just wanting to know if you could unblock me on Twitter.
I'd love to shed some light on that. I didn't know that had happened. Well, what's your handle, Pat? You're going to have to give me a steer.
Yeah, what's my handle? It's just my name. So Patrick.Ryan, I think it is, on Twitter. R-Y-E-N is his style of surname. So I can shoot you through it on the temper text, and you can hopefully unblock me so I can keep track of what's happening with footy.
Do that, please, mate. And did you have anything else that you wanted to add?
No, I just wanted to say one thing. I think Kane Corns, with regards to Harley, what's getting lost a little bit in this conversation is I honestly don't think Kane's coming at him from an angle of horror. I think he's basically trying to bring out the best in Harley, just to work a little bit harder on his aerobic side.
Yep.
But obviously I see the other side of the coin as well. We can't put too much pressure on these young guys because they've, you know, just take a look at Harley and the amount of exposure he's getting. He's got enough pressure on him as it is. So
good on you, Pat. Nice balanced call from you, and I'll seek to address the blocking. I'm not a blocker, to be honest. I'm not sure how that's happened. Thanks to Foz in Geraldton, too, who's texting in. I reckon you're right here, Foz. The last time a venue was changed was in the 2013 finals when Fremantle was sent down to Geelong, and we know how that turned out for the VFL, Foz says. Yes. Dave is in Melton. Pat's in Melton. Now, Dave's in Melton. Dave, Lockie Schultz.
G'day, Sammy. How you going? Commiserations about the Blues, mate.
Thanks, mate. Sounds like you mean it.
I'm not happy with the Lockie Schultz suspension, mate. Defenders punch forwards in the head all the time, even though they miss the football.
Hang on, Dave. They do that when the ball is there and they're trying to punch the ball. What else was Lockie Schultz trying to whack?
Doesn't matter. They still get punched in the head, mate. What is it? So we'll let it punch people in the head as long as we're going for the football, you're saying?
Well, one's in play and accidental, and the other one's a deliberate strike where the player's not even watching.
So you believe it's accidental? Mate, I don't know how naive you are, mate. I've seen plenty of times they miss the football and make no contact with the ball whatsoever, but they make contact with the head all the time, mate.
Yeah. Look, a bit. You can't compare, as a rule, though, what Lockie Schultz did with a defender trying to punch the ball, though.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. If you're going to suspend him, there's other blokes you can suspend too.
Yeah, okay. All right, but in terms of Lachie Schultz, though, he should have been suspended, shouldn't he?
For what he did, yeah, I don't like that either. But he got off. How come he got off?
All right. Well, I think we got there in the end. Mick in Airport West. How are you, Mick?
Yeah, g'day, mate. Just a late call-up, Tony Armstrong, when he played, I think it was Geelong Reserves, and then played just against the seniors. We got flogged that day. But, mate, that guy with about Lachie Schultz, it's different punching a ball and punching a guy in the head, and it's different chasing a bloke, punching him in the head. Lachie Schultz, lucky he didn't cop three, OK?
Yeah, I'm more inclined to believe that than I am the shouldn't have got one, Mick, that's for sure. And you mentioned Tony Armstrong. So he left home at 8 o'clock to play VFL in Geelong. He had Maccas on the way back to Melbourne. He got to the ground as an emergency. He knew he wasn't playing. A minute before the game, Bucks looks at him and says, "You're in." Sub vest. Then Ben Reid hurts himself first minute. So straight in. 19 Ks across the two games. Got home that night and said something, words to the effect of, "Well, at least I'm trending on Twitter." That was the Tony Armstrong story. Thanks, Mick. Freddie's in Elwood. Freddie, hello.
G'day, Sammy. Just confirm, Kane Corns is copping all this hate from last night's footy classified.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's right, yep.
I just want to say some of these haters from Kane, just take a step back and listen to what he actually has to say. Because he's 100% right. Harley cramped up. I thought he popped a hammy at the time watching it live, but he cramped up and, yeah, it's round eight. If your fitness isn't there, it's round eight. So he's, spot on.
Yeah,
so
but Freddie, did you watch it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was looked at through a critical lens, make no mistake, from Kane. In fact, he questioned his training standards and he questioned his professionalism when the kid's only seven games into a career when he hasn't even done one completed AFL preseason yet. You'd have to say that's probably a little bit extreme, wouldn't you?
No, because I thought it's spot on with what happened. But also, I think with Harley too, everything's positive. But he does something half good or nearly pays off or pushes five for legally and people go, how strong is he?
Mm.
But I think it's just more providing another opinion.
But, yeah, fair enough.
Yeah,
no.
And it's interesting that one opinion on the harsh side and everyone comes at him.
Yeah.
So I think he gets sunshine and lollipops all the time. So,
hey, as I said to you, Freddie, Kane at the very least provides us with polarising topics. It's the genius of the man. He brings us topics and takes us to areas that we've never really been, I don't think. So that's what he does well, even when you disagree with him and you're not. So that's good to get the other side. Hey, up next, 1-300-736-736. I've seen the light. So what have you seen the light on after the weekend of sport? I've got a Dwayne's World t-shirt to give away for the best caller. I've seen the light is up next.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Goodness me. I'm going to get emotional listening to that. I've seen the light. What have you seen the light on from the weekend of, well, not just footy, but of sport? You can extrapolate. The Werribee Kia open line, 1-300-736-736. Tell you what I've seen the light on. The critics of a 19th AFL team will bang on about the talent being spread too thin and the quality of the game suffering as a result. Well, I've seen the light over the weekend, and Lachie Sullivan is the beacon of light at the heart of it all. He was about to return to local footy after being overlooked in November's national draft. He won two BNFs at Footscray in the VFL. He took out the coach's MVP award last year. He's 26. He makes his debut against Carlton, nearly 90,000 at the G. It's a cauldron. And yet he's a picture of poise and promise. 10 touches, 5 tackles and a goal with his first kick. He looked it right at home. So just off the top of my head, Geelong's Sean Manner is 26. Richmond's Mikelty Lafau is 25. They are out there. Clubs have just got to look hard enough. They are out there. They are out there. I've seen the light. The talent is there. What have you seen the light on? Thanks to Louver House, the leaders in opening and closing louvered roofs. Joel is in Yarrawonga, beautiful part of the state. G'day, Joel.
Hi, Sammy.
Good.
We need to protect players, protect themselves. Always throwing Maynard on top of him and driving his head into the ground, that will cause a serious injury. Need to be a fine or something towards Owies there, I reckon.
Yep. I just don't know how they do it, though, Joel. It's That's a slippery one. But yeah, the players have an obligation, I reckon, to conduct themselves in the right manner with something that can be so dangerous. Good on you. Lou's in Bundoora. What are you seeing the light on, Lou?
Sammy, I've seen the light on something, right? And I'm going to... I hope Bud Kane Corns is listening to this as well. So if I had Connor Rozee, Zach Butters, and Horn Francis on paper, you'll think you'll win a premiership with those three. They're the most overrated midfield in the AFL competition. That's what I've seen the light on, Sammy. And Cornsy, shut up, mate.
Strong take. Strong take from Lou. Does take more than three good midfielders. They are good to win a premiership. Pete's in Primby up in New South Wales. What are you seeing the light on, Pete?
I've seen the light on after Dermot Brereton gave his editorial on one of the football programs on the weekend about holding the ball. How he's describing non-disposal, players being slung around 160 degrees and still not being called holding the ball. I watched the games intently on the weekend, and every time I saw something, I thought to myself, what would Darren McBarrett call that? And that would be holding the ball.
Yeah, yeah. There was a lot of them, Pete. I'm with you, particularly that Fremantle-Richmond game. Good on you. If you've seen the lot on that, can you turn it on for the men and women who have the whistle? That would be nice. I'll flick your Dwayne's World t-shirt as well if you still happen to be on the line. Nat drops us a text. I've seen the light. Nat says, Collingwood and Eston, Carlton and Collingwood, should have been a complete sellout. 100,000. 95,000 and 88,000 are a bit of a letdown considering the build-up for both games. Surely something needs to be changed. That's something from Nat. Once addressed on a ticketing front. Louver House, the leaders in transforming your outdoor space into a great entertainment area with an opening and a closing roof.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
It's rapid fire time. You need no reminders. Let's go to Henley Beach before the 2 o'clock news. Mark's with us. Hi, Mark.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Good.
Sorry, rapid fire.
Yes.
In the light. My comment would be, how about all these, want to be nice here, fat, lazy mugs that sit on the couch and watch the game, get up, grab a green maggot top, grab a whistle, and see how hard it is to umpire a game, even at the amateur level. Players win or lose games, not umpires. I'm sick of hearing all this rubbish.
Oh, I like the other side, Mark. Well done to you. Josh is in Bundoora, rapid-fire style. G'day, Joshy.
I've seen the light, Sammy.
Yes.
Gold Coast Suns, nowhere near it.
They said they were going to play finals this year. Bob East, the chairman, told us that was their expectation. Might be... Good on you, Joshy. Gus is up in Queensland. Big state, Queensland, but he's somewhere up there. Hi, Gus.
Yeah, hi.
Gussie, fire.
Yeah.
Go for it, mate.
Oh, no. Yeah, no, wasn't sure. Should have got it out 5 weeks, I reckon. No, absolute coward act, to be honest.
Lockie Schultz?
Yeah, should have got a bit longer than a week, I reckon.
All right. Plenty of people agree with you, Gus. Fair enough. I've seen a lot off the text. Saad and McGovern are so important to the Blues and the best kicks in the team. I've seen the lights, as Ashley. Carlton are no different to last year. Well, last year got them to a prelim and they're up by 5 goals at quarter time. I don't know. If you're a Carlton supporter and you make a prelim again, I reckon you're just about taking it at the moment. But the problem is, are they regressing? The issue is defence. 18-player defence across the ground is a real watch at the Blues at the moment. Team scoring far too easily. Don't miss the Melbourne Mavericks, Adelaide Thunderbirds, John Cain Arena, Saturday, May 1. Just go to melbournemavericks.com. for tickets. So the news headlines are coming. That's what that music means. On the other side, we're going to talk with the latest Rising Star nominee, the magnificent Caleb Windsor of the Melbourne Football Club.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
And we venture into the final hour here on Dwayne's World. Sam Edmonds sitting in for the pipe today and tomorrow, and the honour is all mine. What a rollicking start to the show we had for Midday Madness. The Werribee Kia Open Line, we'll come back to a little bit later on, 1300 736736. Werribee Kia always make buying cars easy. Keep your texts coming through as well on the 40 Wings Temper 0433981116. Just a reminder, you can get your unique bed match profile and find the right bed for you. 40 Wings, they are serious about sleep. Just still to come on the Barclay Smokehouse lunch menu today. Make sure you ask for grandmother ham in your local deli. Lost in the wash. As per, of course. Simon Hill, a regular at this time of the week and on this show with Dwayne. World football, A-League and Champions League, and a heap to discuss with Simon a little bit later on in the program. Now, though, I tell you what, I've been looking forward to this all day. Let's get to the Rising Star.
Atkins was at ground level as Windsor in tow. Oh, that'll be holding the ball. A great tackle from the young man.
He's too quick for Atkins. It's a wonderful tackle.
Caleb Windsor to extend the lead. We'll get a good look at the goals here. And that is dead eye. A young man with ice in his veins extends the lead for the D's.
Well, the Duke of Windsor has been crowned. Caleb Windsor was last night named this week's Rising Star nominee, with Melbourne's teenage winger gathering 18 disposals, 9 score involvements, 6 tackles and a goal in the big win over Geelong. And thanks to rjsanderson.com.au, personal and business tax experts, the young man joins us on the line. Caleb, big congratulations and welcome. Great to talk to you.
Thank you. Thanks for having me on.
Now, I've gone with Duke, which admittedly is hardly original. I've heard the Windsor Knot a few times. Can we just quickly clear up the nickname?
Oh, to be honest, I don't even really know where it's come from. I've got no idea where it's originated from, but a lot of people are starting to use it. So I think I'm just going with it at this point.
Well, I must admit, I wasn't clear on what it was. So are we rolling with Duke, are we?
I think so. I think that's what everyone's going with, but yeah.
You're not like you got a lot of say in it anyway, really?
No, not at all.
Obviously, much of what you would hold dear, Caleb, is the internal feedback. But, I mean, we're all human, and it must feel great to get that external recognition as well.
Yeah, no, it's definitely a great feeling knowing that, I'm getting recognised and, like, all the hard work's paying off. It's awesome.
And I imagine something like this, mum and dad love it. Friends and other family members must love it. Has the phone been buzzing away since yesterday?
Yeah, 100%. It's been going off. I found out early in the morning and didn't really tell anyone because I had training and I wouldn't be able to reply to them during the day. So I told everyone after. And by that time, everyone had already found out through social media. Right. So my phone was already popping off.
How many texts are you going to be able to reply to them all?
I'll try. I've gotten through a bit of them so far, but there's still a lot more, so I'll have to see.
It's great to have so many people in your corner and so many well wishes. And hey, it wasn't your only award this week. Did I see you'd got yourself a TV thanks to Channel 7 at the weekend?
Yeah, I did. Yep, that was a pretty good surprise.
What was that all about?
I think it was the Harvey Norman MVP or something. That's what they called it. It was good timing because I said in the interview that I had broken my TV in the front lounge, so perfect timing.
How does one manage to break their TV in the lounge room?
Yeah, well, I was playing golf just in the lounge and trying to get one of the balls in the cup holders on the couch, and it didn't really go as planned, and then straight into the TV and smashed it. So
sorry, you've got the pitching wedge out inside.
Yeah, that's correct. Yep.
Are you still at home, Caleb, or are you out on your own?
No, I'm still at home, yep.
Mum and Dad would have been thrilled with that.
Yeah, no, they weren't too happy with it.
You're obviously keen on the golf. Obviously, you're better at playing footy than golf. But you keen on a bit of golf?
Yeah, I've tried to get into it recently, since like the start of the year. I'm on my days off, so.
Yep.
But yeah, not that good at it, so.
That's world's best timing, though, to get a TV from the 7 Network, an ideal replacement. I don't know, what's a new TV go for these days? I'm not sure what your payment setup's like from the club and your management, but that would have been a decent outlay, I'd reckon, to replace that.
Yeah, definitely would have left a hole in my pockets.
Do you pinch yourself a bit? I mean, you're 18, you're starting on a wing in a team in premiership contention. Can it be difficult sometimes to stay present? You sound like a level-headed kid, but do you just have to stop every now and then and think, holy heck, this has all happened really fast?
Yeah, sometimes. It's really weird. Like, I caught myself, a month into pre-season, I was watching training and I realised, geez, I'm playing with people like Christian Petrarca, Max Gorn, training with them, and it's like, it's just normal now. Like it's a bit weird. It's all happened so quick, like you said. But I definitely got to pinch myself. Every now and then. So
it's only November that you were pick 7. I mean, it's almost like 1 minute you're a kid playing for fun, the next minute you're a draft hopeful, and the next minute you're playing huge games at the biggest stadium in the country, the MCG.
Yeah, I know, it's crazy.
So let's step through this exciting journey of yours. Listerfield Junior Footy Club, Caleb. What drew you to the game initially? What drew you to the game that's now your career and your life? What made you fall in love with it?
It probably started at Knox Falcons. My dad played there pretty much his whole career, and I used to watch him play seniors and stuff like that. And then, went on to play Auskick at Knox and played a bit of my junior footy there, and then, moved to Listerfield with a few mates. And, just fell in love with the game. Like, love playing with all my mates every weekend, and then going to school the day after and talking about it all. And, it was awesome fun.
Because we all play for fun at that stage. I mean, what gave you singularly the most joy in the game? Was it kicking a goal, taking a mark, having a bounce, laying a tackle? What was the most addictive part of the game?
That's a good question. I do love tackling. That's probably one thing I love. Obviously, I've got an older brother, so competing against him just in the backyard and, wrestling him, stuff like that, definitely got me in love with the game. But then, also just playing with mates and, just making memories with them is just, it's awesome.
Who'd you barrack for?
I went for Collingwood, so it was perfect timing to get drafted the year they won the premiership.
And who was on the bedroom wall as a kid, if anyone?
I used to wear Dane Swan and Daisy Thomas's jerseys.
Yeah.
So it'd probably have to be them too.
So as you progress through, you get yourself to the Eastern Rangers, of course. I think you developed a close friendship there with Nick Watson, didn't you? Who was obviously taken two picks before you at Hawthorn. Do you two keep in touch?
Yeah, we're best mates. I've known him since year 7 at Robles Secondary College. So we used to go to school with each other.
Yep.
That kind of friendship just formed from there.
Yep. Okay. Did you give him his nickname, or did that start from somewhere else?
Oh, that started, from somewhere else.
Your development at Melbourne then, Caleb. So tell us a bit about the David Neitz Academy. I'm a bit fascinated by this. It started before your time, but obviously is well and truly in full flow now. Tell us a bit about the David Neitz Academy.
Yeah, so it's for the 1 to 3 year boys. Mark Williams runs it, and he kind of just teaches us things like little stuff like just even media training, financial stuff, like just little things like that. But then also obviously teaches us about the game and like little things we can do to correct our game. He's awesome.
So does he run, knowing Mark, would he do sort of fake interviews? Would he pretend he's Mike Sheehan, and would there be a bit of role playing in there?
Yeah, that's exactly what we did the other week. We pretended to do interviews and videoed them, and then showed them in front of the group, and kind of got feedback off it, which was good.
Yeah. He famously used to take, I think, young Richmond players into the CBD to help them with the hook turns, especially the interstaters who weren't familiar with hook turns in the city. Hasn't given you any driving practice, has he?
Nah, hasn't done that yet, nah.
Simon Goodwin and the relationship with him as the senior coach, what's that been like, Caleb?
Yeah, it's been good. I remember ever since the draft, he kind of just always wanted to, get close and build a good relationship. And I think he's, continuing to do that. Not just with me, but with all the players, which is, it's pretty cool.
So, correct me if I'm wrong here, but watching you from afar, endurance and speed are your strengths. So, philosophically, what do you spend more time on? Do you spend more time on those things because they're your weapons and you can maximise them to cause maximum damage? Or do you work more on the things you're not so good at to broaden your skill set?
Yeah, I guess it's pretty much a balance of both, really. Like, it also depends on, like, if there's something I'm doing in a game that week that I've, haven't really done to my best, and I'll go back the next week and work on that stuff, if that makes sense. So, like, for me, I think it was last game, my skill execution wasn't that great. So the next week I went and worked on that, made sure I got that to where it was and even better. So, yeah, I guess it's just a balance.
So the modern game as a winger, like how many Ks, what does your GPS say? How many Ks roughly would you churn out on a game day?
Yeah, I think it's around, depending on the game time, I think it's around like 13 Ks, 13 and a half, I think.
Yep. So one thing that's hard to coach, is, I think anyway, is a player's thirst for it all, like the hunger, the want, the desire. So to look like at the weekend that Tom Atkins had given you the slip, but then you doggedly stick at it and pin him. Have you always had that tenacity in you, or is it something you've had to work on?
It's definitely something I've had to work on, especially last year, I think, at the Coach Talent League. That was, yeah, one of the things I, you know, knew I needed to work on, and then kind of just kept improving it game by game.
Yeah. And to kick the goal at a critical time, I mean, what goes into that? What's going on inside that brain of yours at a moment like that in a game?
Yeah, well, obviously I missed that first set shot, mm-hmm. which was a lot easier during the game. And then, yeah, going back, kind of just went through my routine. Like, I practiced my set shots a lot. So just going through my routine, keeping everything the same as always. And, yeah, just going back and kicking it.
Bit of emotion in the celebration too, which we love.
Yeah, always love a goal, so.
You wear the number 6, obviously, at Melbourne. So the Melbourne locker room, does it work in a traditional sense? So if it does, you'd have Jack Viney on one side with 7, and yep. you'd have a guy by the name of Christian Petrarca on the other side with 5. Is that the setup?
Yeah, that's correct, yep.
So I have to ask, what's it like having two of the strongest midfielders in the game, one on your left, one on your right, to pick the brains of?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a great two mentors to have to start my footy career, I think. I guess I'm pretty lucky. Couldn't really ask for any two better players to be helping me out at the start of my AFL career. So
I don't think you could. And for different reasons, they've come through as high-profile picks, you know, with a lot of attention and I guess by extension, a lot of pressure. What have they spoken to you about, you know, the early weeks and months and years of your career in that sense?
It was kind of more just like, you know, not worrying about like the outside voices. Mm. You know, you've obviously got a role to play, and not many people, you know, your role might not be getting 30 possessions, and you might not get that one game, and people might see it as a bad game. But you know, like the team knows that you got, you know, you played your role and stuff like that. So yeah, kind of just listening to the people that know you and know what you need to do is for the team, instead of all the outside voices that don't really have a very good idea of what, you know, the team wants from you. So.
And there's so many outside voices at the moment. So hey, how are you going with all of that?
Yeah, pretty good, to be honest. Like, it doesn't seem to me to be bothering me yet. But then again, hasn't really been that bad for me yet, I guess.
Yeah. So as a pick 7 in the draft, as you were, I mean, it's a whole other conversation, but the first round these days is a complicated affair given picks are traded, compo picks come in, there's father-sons at play. So traditionally a pick as high as you would have gone to, I guess, a struggling club, whereas you've gone to a really strong one. So you've got an endless stream of intel to source, but at the same time the competition for spots, albeit you've played every game, is really fierce as well. So it's an interesting dynamic for you as a high pick.
Yeah, it is. I got pretty lucky. As you said, usually the higher picks go to you know, struggling teams. But yeah, I was lucky enough to go to what I think is a top four side. Couldn't have asked to go to a better club, to be honest. I love the Melbourne Demons. Like, they've been so good to me. They've welcomed me with open arms. And the boys are great as well. Like, the culture there is unreal. So. Yeah.
And who are you tight with down there, Caleb? I mean, I don't know if we mentioned the guys on your left and your right in the locker room. I'm not sure if you've got a mentor program there or you just naturally connect with some of the guys, but who are you closest with down there?
Yeah, probably have to be obviously the first year boys. Like, we do a lot together. Like Colton Tolstrop and Kynan Brown. We've become pretty close since we both got drafted. We all got drafted together. They're great. They're awesome to hang out with. So,
and look, having said all that, like Melbourne's strength as a flag contender and a top five side and all that, I mean, having said that, you're part of this generation next in this side. I mean, it's a very different one to last year at Melbourne. There were 5 players on Saturday night who have played less than 10 games. That's yourself, Tajwo Woden, Howes, Bailey Laurie, Disco Turner as well. So what's the bond like between you guys as, I guess, the real future of the club?
Yeah, it's pretty good. Like, as I said, we've got the David Neitz Academy where we all help each other out. And I think we're all kind of just going through it together, going through the same stuff right now. And we're just helping each other out game by game. And, it's awesome.
Caleb, it's been a pleasure, mate. Just before we go, when does the new TV get installed?
I'm not too sure. I think it's been getting delivered soon. But yeah, I think Mum's more keen on it than me, considering I smashed the other TV. So
yeah, and just to clear this up once and for all, are the golf clubs, are the sticks banned from the lounge room now?
I don't think they will be now that I've earned back the TV. But I guess if I break it again, then maybe they might get banned.
That's just more pressure on the chipping game, on your short game.
Yeah, exactly right.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you, mate. Great to talk to you. Well done on the Rising Star nominee. Hopefully it's just a small accolade on the way to many, many more for you and your club. Great to watch your career unfold, mate. All the best with it.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
That's Caleb Windsor, the Round 8 Rising Star nominee. What a beauty the Melbourne Football Club have got on their hands there. Just 18 years of age. He joined us thanks to RJ Sanderson and Associates. They are the accountants and taxation specialists. And the best part is they take the stress right out of tax. Dean drops a text. Great chat with Caleb Windsor. Sounds like he's a level-headed kid, even if he hits golf balls into his TV. All right, a break. Lost in the Wash is on the other side. If you got a nomination for what we haven't got to yet, something that we should have and we haven't, we'll put our hand up and we'll address it on the other side. Stick around. It's Dwayne's World.
Dwayne's World with Dwayne Russell.
Lost in the wash time. What have we got to that we really should have? What have we not got to that we really should have by now? It's all thanks to Schauser Dog Washers. Give back to your footy club with Schauser. Modbury Mac dropped this text in. There's four blokes left to choose from in the schoolyard T20 game. You're the captain. You can choose two of Nathan Ellis, Ashton Agar, Jake Fraser-McGurk, or Spencer Johnson. It's primary school stuff, and I reckon the national selectors have got it wrong. Oh, yeah, I'm taking Jake and I'm taking Spencer every day of the week. Lost in the wash, victory v City. Cracking final in the A-League hasn't been mentioned yet on SEN. Sit tight. Sit tight, 270. We will get to that in a moment with Simon Hill. I'm saving it for the voice of football in this country, Simon Hill. Lost in the wash, Tom Hawkins. Lost in the wash in this program anyway. Hasn't kicked a goal in a month. Badly out of form, perhaps not moving the greatest. I just had to go back and have a quick look. He's never gone four consecutive matches without kicking a goal like this in his entire career, which started way back in 2007. Now, this week, he equals Joel Selwood's games record of 355 games. What an achievement that is. It's Friday night against Port Adelaide down at GMHBA Stadium. And Tom Hawkins spoke today, and you never would have believed it, but he was asked about his current run of form.
I'm well aware that I'm not in great touch at the moment, but feel like I'm still playing quite a significant role within the team. We've got so many avenues towards goal, which hasn't probably always been the case for me in my time in Geelong. So each week's going to look slightly different in terms of pure goal scoring. Yes, I'd like to be a bit more influential in the games, but you know, I've touched on some periods in my career that you work through, and this is just one that's you know, a small speed hump, but I'll manage my way through it and no doubt be fine.
Small speed hump, no doubt I'll be fine. That may well be the case. I'm certainly more inclined to believe that than he's just done and dusted now. Having said that, he turns 36 in a couple of weeks. So just listening to some of the other key forwards talk about this in the last 24, 48, 72 hours, the end comes, and the end can come pretty quick when you lose some of the traits that made you a champion player like Tom Hawkins has certainly been. But you would expect him to answer those queries in no other way, and he'll be looking to hit the scoreboard against Port Adelaide. Lost in the wash, Hugh McCluggage has spoken on his contract situation today. He's already spoken over the summer about his desire to stay at Brisbane, but when you do have that free agent eligibility and the interest is there, it's always a big decision for your biggest contract of your career. So Hugh said this today: "We both know where I sit. I love it here. I really enjoy playing footy with this group and living in Queensland. I think we both want to get something done, but it's taking its time and that's okay. It's just simmering away in the background. I'm focused on playing as well as I can and making sure we continue to build our form." That's what he said. My translation, it all comes back to cash. There's a difference at the moment with what the club are prepared to pay and what his manager is presenting and asking for, and that's probably contract negotiating 101. They'll find a middle ground, I'm sure. NBA playoffs update for Tyre Power. Nothing but net on Kumho tyres. The New York Knicks have taken a 1-0 lead in their series against Indiana. They won game one, 121-117. Minnesota are set to take a 2-0 lead. Hot start from them in their series against the Nuggets. What about this? They're leading 106-80 in game two, and that is late in the last quarter. English Premier League, Crystal Palace 4, Man United donuts 0. Erik ten Hag, the manager, under scorching heat at the moment.
Oh, well.
I might fire that the way of Simon Hill as well after 2:30, which is when he is going to join us. Sammy, 9 games till Scott Pendlebury reaches the magical 400, in brackets, bar injury. I believe it's against the Cats at the G. How big would the crowd be for one of the greatest pies of all time? Good question. I have to go back and just double check that. I'm sure you're right though, Nat, and it will be at the G. I'll have a look. Well, Simon Hill, of course, is the host of the Global Game tonight, right across the SEN network from 8 o'clock and the SEN app from McCafe Coffee. Catch up, he joins us. You can win free McCafe Coffee for a year on the My Macca's app. And excellent timing, Simon, because there is a heck to get to. The first week of the A-League finals have been run and won. How about the Melbourne Derby? It went to penalties. I'm not sure what you think, but lived up to the hype for mine.
Yeah, it did. It's probably not the most aesthetically pleasing game of football, but in terms of tension and drama, I thought it was right up there, which is what you expect from finals football and from a derby, of course, as well. The standout undoubtedly was Paul Izzo. His performance, for me, probably the best goalkeeping display I think I've ever seen in the A-League competition, to be honest. Right. He was absolutely unbeatable. So we've got him on the show tonight, so we'll try and get some more insight as to how he performed so well. Great backs-to-the-wall display generally by Victory. City will be kicking themselves. That, you know, they should have won that game pretty comfortably. And the reason why they didn't was A, profligate finishing, and B, Paul Izzo. Simple as that.
As the full toll of Izzo's performance, though. So he saves a penalty in the match, Simon. He saves 3 in the shootout. He converts one himself, Manuel Neuer style. Yeah. Should they be building a statue of him?
Well, it's probably a little bit early to do that. We could do with one of Ange Postecoglou and Melbourne before that. But anyway, look, it was certainly a magnificent performance. And if he repeats that in the semi-finals, then Victory have got every chance of going through to the big dance. But, you know, the big question now for Victory is, and I'm sure Tony Popovich will argue vehemently against this, but have they played their grand final in getting past City? You know, that was an almighty effort. And now they've got to back up against Wellington, who've had a terrific season themselves. And they've got to do it without Zinedine Mishash, of course, as well, who's been suspended for 2 games. So it's going to be difficult, but that was a night that I'm sure Victory fans will remember for a long, long time.
Speaking of host of the Global Game, Simon Hill, of course. So, Simon, just on the Phoenix, so we're kicking back in New Zealand watching this one. You mentioned it wasn't the most aesthetically pleasing game. They wouldn't probably be sitting back quaking in their boots awaiting the winner, and now going up against Victory, they'd have every right to be supremely confident, wouldn't they? And would they be?
Well, confident, yes. I don't know about supremely. I mean, they've played each other twice in the regular season and both games have ended in 1-1 draws. So, you know, they're pretty tightly matched. But things do favour the teams that finish 1 and 2 in the regular season. Obviously, they've had that week off to, you know, rest whatever injuries or weary legs that they've got. And they'll have the second leg at home in front of a full house in Wellington. So all the stats are in their favour. And if you go back through the history books of the A-League, it's normally 1 versus 2 in the grand final. It's not always the case, but more often than not, that's the way it pans out. So I think that it's a slight favouring of Wellington Phoenix, especially given the season they've had. But don't rule Victory out, particularly if they show the sort of spirit they showed on Sunday.
Now, the other elimination final was Sydney against MacArthur. Now, it was a fair effort for MacArthur to go from wooden spooners and up into the top 6. And Milos Djovic's done a great job there. In fact, they'd won, I think, their last 3 meetings against Sydney FC. But in this final, they got absolutely towed, Simon.
Well, they did, but there is a caveat to that. The game, for me, was spoiled by the sending off of Keeley Adamson in the first half for what was let's call it a controversial red card. There are some people who think it was fair enough, but
what do
I'm
you
of
think?
The persuasion that I don't think it was a red card. I think a foul, maybe a booking, was enough.
Yep.
But anyway, you know, those sometimes those decisions go against you, and unfortunately, that just killed MacArthur. Sydney are strong at home, and I think there was only ever going to be one winner after that, to be honest. So, you know, all credit to Sydney, but you can only beat what's in front of you, and they did so quite comfortably. Joe Lolly scored an absolutely amazing goal, but he's got a bit of a hamstring problem, as I understand, whether he'll be fit for the first leg of the semi against the Mariners on Friday. I don't know. Luke Bratton went off with a problem as well. So, yeah, it's going to be very interesting, that matchup against the Central Coast, who are, of course, the Premiers.
Yeah, let's talk about that. I mean, this is the AFC Cup as well, though, that they've won and are celebrating, I imagine. I mean, it hasn't got a lot of traction, I don't think, from, I don't know, is it being underplayed, Simon, this achievement?
By about 1,000,000%.
Yeah.
But that's no surprise. You know, we unfortunately, winning these tournaments, I say we as a sport, with the wrong shape of ball. If this was AFL or rugby league, it would be back page all week.
So this is, for the uneducated, this is would what, essentially be what, the Asian Club Championship that they've won?
No, it's effectively, if you understand the way the European system works with the European Champions
yep.
League and the Europa League, which is the second tier competition, this is the AFC Cup is the Europa League,
right,
if you like, of Asian football. So it's not the biggest prize in Asia, but it's still a very, very tough tournament to win. And when you consider that the Mariners have travelled, I think it's 103,000 kilometres throughout the course of the journey, backwards and forwards to West Asia, East Asia, all over the place, Kyrgyzstan, Oman, Southeast Asia. And they've had to get through, I think, 14 games just to get to, you know, the point where they won the trophy. So it's an incredible achievement, particularly when they've been backing up week in, week out in the A-League and winning or drawing games. So if they go on and win the championship, that will be the first ever treble in our code of football in this country. And, you know, that will stand the test of time as probably the greatest single club team achievement until somebody wins the domestic double and the Asian Champions League, which was obviously a bit better. But, you know, it's an amazing achievement, particularly given they lost half a team and their coach after their title win last season.
Yeah, and all those geographical challenges you mentioned that would have stretched the playing squad to its to bursting point as well. The A-League Women's Grand Final, this was always fascinating coming in because it was Sydney against Melbourne City. Now, City, I think, were a perfect 4 from 4 in Grand Finals. I think three of those had actually come against Sydney as well. In the end, that counted for absolutely nothing, Simon. Sydney FC won at 1-0.
Yeah. Yeah, that's sometimes the way it goes. And, you know, Melbourne City, in common with their men's team 24 hours later, really should have won that game.
Mm.
They had enough opportunities. But, again, they came up against an inspired goalkeeper. Jada Wyman was magnificent between the posts for Sydney. It was a real rearguard effort to defend the goal once they scored it through Shea Connors, who came off the bench. I think that was her first goal for Sydney, actually. And given, again, the problems that they've had this season, they lost Nat Tobin, who's their central defender and captain. They lost Kirsty Fenton to injury as well. They've had some other injury worries. So for them to go away from home and win a grand final is an amazing achievement. Of course, that's back-to-back and now 5 titles for Sydney. So that's a new record in the women's game for Ante Juric, who's on the show as well tonight. He's having an incredible run as coach.
Just quickly on the Premier League before I get your thoughts on the title race, which I think, for all intents and purposes, is now a race in two. Manchester United, horrible this morning. 4-0 loss to Crystal Palace. I think Eric Ten Hag's future's been a talking point for a while now. That's just become a furnace, hasn't it, in the last 12 hours?
Yeah. I think so. You know, his head's been on the block for a while. But I think the execution is sharpening the axe as we speak.
Yeah.
You know, they've probably got one game left to save his tenure, if you want to put it that way, and that's the FA Cup final against Manchester City at Wembley. But, you know, they're not going to start favourites in that game. Their capitulation this morning, our time against Crystal Palace, was abject again. You know, they need a thorough Broome put through the place, not just in terms of the playing personnel, but there are all sorts of off-field issues with ownership and the stadium and, you know, the Glazers, who the fans are, well, at best, split on. And I think until all that off-field stuff is resolved, this up-down existence that they've been living since, really, Alex Ferguson left the club in 2013, is going to continue. But I would imagine if Ten Hag doesn't win the FA Cup, I think he's gone.
To what, just speaking of managers under pressure, to what degree are they turning on Ange Postecoglou over there? Spurs lost their last four on the bounce in the Premier League. They've slipped to fifth. What's happening with Spurs, please, Simon?
Well, it's difficult to put your finger on. And, you know, you look at their defensive shape at times, and it's, and we, you know, we've experienced this with Ange and the way his teams play in Australia. They can be gung-ho at times, and, you know, that's okay. It's great on the eye when they're scoring goals at the other end. But the problem is that the goals have dried up at the other end as well. Son Heung-min has not been probably the same player since returning from the Asian Cup mid-season, which, again, is, you know, that's a question for another day as to whether it should be played in the middle of the European domestic season. And yeah, he's coming under fire a little bit, and I'm afraid that's just the way it goes in football in Europe. If you lose four in a row, particularly at a big club, which Spurs are, then, you know, people are going to start getting after you. So Ange knows that. He's a big boy. He understands the way it works in Europe. I think he'll be okay. I don't think they will push the panic button. But it's been a disappointing end to the season, that's for sure.
Just at the very, very pointy end of the EPL table with just a couple of games to go. I've seen this movie so many times, and you have as well. I'm sure you're prepared to declare Manchester City certainties for the title.
No, I never do that, mate. I don't want to jinx it. The funny thing is that City have got, well, they've got three games left. Arsenal have got two. There's only a point between them. Arsenal are top at the moment. And there are two tricky games on paper, one for each. Arsenal go to Man United next week, but on current form, would you really back United up against Arsenal? City go to Tottenham in a few days after that game in Old Trafford. And again, that's a ground where City haven't won a lot at in the past. But given Spurs' current form, would you really back Spurs against City? So the title may be decided in that little 4 or 5 day window, I think.
Yep.
Very tight. It's been a great race. Obviously, I hope City win it.
Now, just before I let you go, Simon, the Champions League, I love, especially this time of the year. We're into the semi-final stage. Now, the second legs are on this week. PSG and Borussia Dortmund, 5 a.m. tomorrow. And then the one I'm really looking forward to on Thursday is Real Madrid and Bayern. That one's sitting poised at 2-2. Real Madrid are just an amazing sporting organisation. Who do you fancy to progress into the final from these four?
Well, again, speaking with my Man City hat on, I hope it's not Real Madrid, because I'm still irritated that they managed to knock us out in the quarterfinals. Sorry about the noise, by the way. Plane going overhead. And from, you know, being an Englishman myself, I'd love to see Harry Kane finally win some silverware. He's waited an awful long time. He thought he was going to do it in the Bundesliga with Bayern this season, but Bayer Leverkusen have shaken off their name tag at Bayern Leverkusen by winning it. So I hope that Bayern go through for Harry's sake, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was Real Madrid. This competition is one that they feel they own, and for good reason.
Yeah, yeah. And then PSG are at home against Borussia Dortmund, who were pegged back for long periods in that semi, but they found a way. They took their opportunity. The Parisians didn't. Do you see them hitting back at home, the French?
I do, to be honest. And again, I just wonder whether this is Paris Saint-Germain's time. You know, they've been there or thereabouts for quite a few years now. They've got some amazing players, particularly Kylian Mbappe, of course. So I wonder whether this might just be their year. But again, you know, two semis that are beautifully poised that could go either way in both.
Yeah. Hey, Simon, can't wait for the global game tonight. So it's right across the SEN network at 8 o'clock. Paul Izzo, the goalkeeping superstar, your special guest. Now, there's no room for modesty here, by the way, either, Simon. He's got to enjoy this moment. I expect him to be upfront and honest about how good he feels about himself.
I would hope so.
Yeah.
He's a modest guy, but I'm sure he'll... He'll have enjoyed the last couple of days.
Beautifully done, mate. Appreciate you joining us as well.
Thanks, mate. All the best, sir.